Good afternoon. How are you? It's been the biggest share fall for any company in Australia based solely on a government announcement. Tabcorp and Tattersall shares have plummeted today after yesterday's state government announcement that the pokie duopoly will end in 2012. Shareholder activist Stephen Mayne's been keeping a close eye on this. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Lindy.
Anything to declare first at all?
I'm a tiny shareholder in Tattersalls and Tabcorp.
Right. So you've lost quite a bit of money today.
Oh, look, probably a couple of $100s.
Oh, right.
Very, very small.
Very, very small.
Not like the Commonwealth Bank, which owns 8% of Tattersalls and 6% of Tabcorp and is counting its losses at hundreds of millions of dollars on behalf of all the hundreds of thousands of Australians that they manage superannuation for.
Was this expected? Was there not the fact that it fell, that the shares fell in response to yesterday, but was there any writing on the wall that the state government was going to make this announcement?
I think that people were probably, you know, contemplating a move to a system that operates in New South Wales and Queensland, where the venues own the poker machines, and this is what Woolworths and Bruce Matheson, who control about 40% of the poker machines, or the venues with poker machines in Victoria, advocated in their submission. So that wouldn't have been a big shock. The big shock was just ripping up the contract and saying, I like the phrase they used, we have formed the view that $1.3 billion of legislated and contracted compensation wouldn't be paid. So that's become the big share market story, that basically the view is that you can't trust the state government. They've just unilaterally torn up a contract, and the market has judged the damage today at $2.85 billion.
See, I think there's going to be an appeal, surely, of that.
Oh, look, Tattersalls and Tabcorp will sue in every court in the land over this. I mean, how could you not? I mean, how can you, in the case of Tattersalls, find your share price falling by 26.7% in one day, wiping off $1.24 billion, when you know, there've been prospectuses and there's legislation and contracts and all these things saying that if you lose your license, you'll be entitled to compensation for between $500 and $600 million. So it is just in a sort of a sovereign risk, market reputation, sanctity of contracts point of view, it is a staggering decision by the state government.
Are there repercussions then for other companies that hold similar kinds of agreements with state governments, not just in Victoria but across Australia, that are looking very closely at the fine print today?
I think there are fleets of lawyers, particularly involved in public-private partnerships, who are looking at contracts. I mean, this is basically a public-private partnership where the Kerner government and then the Kennett government progressively wrote contracts for private companies to manage poker machines in Victoria. And they said, you know, on the basis you do this, if we don't give you your license back after 18 years, we'll give you compensation to the value of that license. And so it's the equivalent of suddenly waking up one day and saying, oh, we don't like CityLink. You guys haven't got a toll road anymore. We're taking it away and we're not giving you any compensation. So I think John Brumby has got a major fight on his hands here in terms of whether he can be trusted. And, I mean, think about it in these terms. The biggest concern that Labor had about work choices was that it allowed employers to unilaterally rip up contracts and cut people's conditions. And this, is in a corporate sense, is the equivalent of that. They've just come along and unilaterally changed things.
It's a Friday. We can use that term.
They have moved the goalpost in a spectacular way. But there are some winners, of course, Lindy. I mean, think about the AFL clubs out there. They have 18 different venues they control with 1,200 poker machines. Punters lose about $100 million at these poker machines each year, and they will no longer have to pay Tattersalls or Tabcorp $33 million of those losses. So the AFL clubs, like every other venue operator out there, is looking forward to capturing that big slice of the pie that will no longer go to Tattersalls or Tabcorp in Victoria.
Yes, the Australian Hotels Association was similarly gleeful yesterday.
Well, Woolworths shares, the value of Woolworths has risen by $500 million in the last 2 days in a falling market. So it is clearly the biggest winner. And obviously the AFL clubs collectively as a group are very big winners as well.
And the final closing share price for them both, do you know?
Well, Tattersalls was down 98 cents to $2.68. So a $4.63 billion company is now worth $3.39 billion. That is a record low in terms of it only floated about 3 years ago. Tabcorp, you have to remember that it floated at $2.25. It fell $3.06 today. So Brumby has knocked off today more than the total value of the float that the taxpayers got back in 1994. And it finished at $11.31, which was a four-year low and a loss of 21% or $1.61 billion. And there was $500 million of turnover today across both companies. So there's a lot of panic selling by institutional investors such as Perpetual, Commonwealth Bank, Maple Brown Abbott, who are the major shareholders in these companies.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, Lindy.
That'll continue. Stephen Bishop. Stephen Main. You'll understand in a moment why I said Bishop. Stephen Main, who, of course, is a shareholder activist and a regular with me here at 774.
Mick Gatto is on the money trail, Stephen, isn't he?
Yeah, Stephen's just been chatting with him, trying to get a bit of a few dollars back from him.
It's not bad. I like that. Opus Prime, I suppose you've told everyone about the 30 cents in the dollar, have you?
Yeah. So a $350, $400 million loss for the investors.
Yeah. Well, Mick reckons he can do better by taking a few shortcuts.
Hate to think, but he's not a violent man.
No, isn't it? Perish the thought.
He's actually asking a few quiet questions.
He just didn't really want to say what those shortcuts were because he didn't want to blow the gaff and, you know, to other people who might be thinking of doing likewise.
I like that how Mick said that he has a lot of work and he never has to advertise. Well, today was his great PR marketing blitz, wasn't it?
Yeah, well
we're talking about him.
You watch it. You watch it tonight. It was a, what you might call a...
He was swaggering.
Well, what might you call it, Hendo?
Bravado.
Yeah, no, it was a vintage performance.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, okay, got out of that all right.
Thank you. I want to talk about, Stephen, Sir Rod Eddington, because you and I have mentioned this before. This is prior to the traffic report coming out last week. About, you said he was the busiest man in Australia?
Yeah, the busiest man in Australia. I've talked before about this, but I've discovered he's actually even busier. And I was most amused when his whole report got overtaken by the wind and the weather. And I'd sort of previously listed his 10 board seats and sort of I heard him on the radio saying, yes, I caught the bus twice from Doncaster as part of this report. I thought, this guy, he's meant to be out there being a director of Allco, and he's meant to be on the board of Rio Tinto defending off BHP, and he's meant to be the top independent director with Rupert Murdoch on News Corp, and he's meant to be chairman of Infrastructure Australia and all these other gigs, and he's out there taking buses and doing this massive report, which I think is quite a good report. But he was in the studio with John Fain taking calls about, instead of one call was about his report, the next call was about the power being off. And then I discovered that he's actually one of the directors of True Energy Holdings, which is one of our power companies here in Melbourne.
Yes.
And he's also a director of the parent company, CLP Group, in Hong Kong, which has $5 billion worth of Australian power assets. And they actually service gas and electricity to more than a million Australians in the Victoria, South Australia, New South Wales. So here was the guy trying to sell his transport report, and he could have been answering the questions about why the lights were out, and I'll just ring my boys down there at True Energy and get your lights back on down there. So, I mean, what an amazing guy. He's chairman Kevin Rudd's Business Advisory Group. He's chairman of Melbourne Major Events. He's the chairman of JP Morgan in Australasia, which has, you know, lent $2 billion to Centro, trying to get it back. And, he has got literally 11 gigs and is unprecedented. So I don't know how he does it.
He's just a busy man and obviously has a BlackBerry or something that he sleeps with under his pillow, like Madonna.
Well, that's right. Well, his News Corp gigs in New York, his CLP gigs in Hong Kong, his Rio Tinto gigs in London.
Frequent flyers are on the rise.
Well, we're lucky to have the former British Airways guy back here in Melbourne. He is a luminary for Melbourne to have. But how often can he be here? So I just marvel at the fact that he managed to do that report.
That's lovely.
It was a pretty checkered response to it. I was surprised that so many people, quite a few people took a long handle to it relatively quickly.
Mostly about the greenhouse emissions. And particularly those who are very much as supporters of public transport.
I mean, as a Rio Tinto director, of course, he wants, you know, massive iron ore and coal sales and steel and construction and more tunnels and as a power industry guy, he wants, I'm not going to be too cynical there.
But you have been. I just want to quickly get a word from you about the Daily Telegraph, because it's not often that you are defending the Reserve Bank, in particularly Glenn Stevens sort of saying that our interest rates are too high and all those sorts of things. But you reckon they've been going a bit below the belt?
Well, it's funny, the Daily Telegraph in Sydney on Saturday ran a big picture of the governor of the Reserve Bank on the front page and called him the most useless Australian, and then have followed up with another front page today, and it's basically been a massive tabloid attack on him, saying, you know, you're putting up interest rates, you want to put up taxes, and we even have my old friend Glenn Milne writing columns, talking about him being a Protestant who doesn't want to spend money and wants people to work harder and suffer pain, and you know, his wife works as a perfume salesman at Myer, and she should know that the sales are falling, and then of course you've had the chairman of Myer leaking his letter. He wrote a letter to Glenn Stevens saying, we're all hurting. And, of course, the chairman of Myer is a guy called Bill Wavish, who is saddled with a pile of private equity debt, a group of Texans who've bought Myer, and was also an executive at a company called Chase Corp, which collapsed $1 billion of debt back in 1989. So he knows a bit about sort of debt and high interest rates. So there's a few people coming at the governor right now.
Yeah, there is. And what about things like being a Protestant? Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's a bit rough. But we do have the highest interest rates in the Western world, and they probably should be coming down. So I guess there is a sort of a sensible argument behind the unfair attacks.
But go for him at that level.
Yeah, play the man like that.
Play it straight, don't play the man.